can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Schiemann and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Song about Game of Thrones.
That's what I figured. Who is it?
The Weeknd, SZA, and Travis Scott. That's The Weeknd, though.
The Weeknd. All right. I've heard of him. Who was the other? Who are the other two? Wow.
SZA.
SZA. Never heard of him.
Her.
I've heard of The Weeknd. Okay.
And Travis Scott.
The country singer?
Nope. Rapper.
Rapper? Who knew?
Me.
All right, more on that. And by the way, I have some Avengers info for both of you later on this hour. So
man, I'm getting great feedback on the text line from my music selection today. I mean it. Awesome job by me.
I saw one tweet from a media person and saw a preview of the Avengers, and all she said was that there were several people moved to tears several times, one person bawling their head off. But anyway,
Xander Bogaerts went deep. Tigers, by the way, Red Sox tied at three.
Macy Williams, aka Aria, tweeted out a half hour ago, "If you feel uncomfortable, just know what my mother and my stepdad and my two sisters and my four brothers have all probably watched this too." Hashtag aha, ha ha, kill me, hee hee.
That's chipper. All right, Jenna Lane coming up in a moment. Covers the Bucks for ESPN. But first and foremost, it is time for the Sports Center Rundown.
The Seattle Seahawks sending defensive end Frank Clark along with a 2019 third-round pick to the Kansas City Chiefs along with some draft picks going the other way. The Chiefs and Clark have agreed to a five-year, $105.5 million deal with $63 million of that guaranteed. New Jets running back Le'Veon Bell not present for the Jets voluntary workout today. New Jets coach Adam Gase said there's a reason it's voluntary, didn't have a problem with Bell skipping the workouts, and the Bucks will meet the Celtics in the next round of the playoffs.
All right, very good. We are going to be talking some NFL again. Jenna Lane, has Jenna been out with us before? Is this her first time?
No, it's her first time, her debut. But
all right, very good.
She's fantastic.
Covers the Bucks for ESPN. We'll talk about that, their plans for the upcoming draft, how Jameis is doing. Congratulations to him. He stayed out of the news here in the offseason.
The day is young.
Yeah, we'll see.
They get that Gerald McCoy situation straightened out, too, because that's going to mess up their draft.
See, I'm convinced they're going to get rid of him and hire somebody you know, younger, newer, better.
Maybe,
but
six days
maybe
before
not.
The draft, what's going on?
I don't know. So,
not 6 days, not 2 days.
2 days, yeah. So, we'll find out what they're going to do. And a very likable player.
He's on $13 million for this season. None of it's guaranteed.
It's getting a little high, though.
Yeah.
So, like I said, they'll find a newer, younger model. Find out what's going on at Bucks camp. Bruce Arians. How many of those berets you think he owns? A lot?
Oh, a lot.
Any color you want?
I think it's going to be really fascinating to see how Byron Leftwich, the new offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, and how Jameis responds to Bruce and to Byron. It's going to be, I think, one of the bigger stories of the year in the NFL. I really believe that.
I do, too. I really do. And it's a make-or-break year for this franchise in many ways. Not for Bruce Arians. He's got time because he's new, but more so for Jameis Winston and a lot of the players that are around there. As we said, Jenna Lane making her debut with us here, covers the Bucks for ESPN. She's with us right now. Jenna, how are you today?
Hi, Jenna.
I'm doing well. I'm actually up in Bristol right now getting ready for the NFL draft. So we have a mock draft that airs tonight on ESPN at 7 o'clock. So we've been anxiously preparing for that, and you can certainly feel the excitement around here with everything that's going to be happening this week with the draft.
Very right, good.
Well, the real exciting thing, though, is my buddy Field Yates' birthday. So, I mean, any cakes? I mean, I text him today. I mean, you know, the best hair in all of television for males anyway. Any big party for Field today in Bristol?
You know, I'm not sure because I haven't seen him yet today, but he will be part of our show. He's one of the hosts of the show. Mm-hmm. Nobody has told me. I guess John Fox is going to be taking Bill Polian's role. There's not going to be a gong. I'm not sure if you know, exactly, you know, where everybody fits in there. But I did hear something tonight about possibly a sheet cake, but I think that was because a reporter lost his cell phone in the parking lot, and that was his tenant. So I don't think that has anything to do with Steele's birthday. But I'm glad you mentioned it to me because I will be sure to mention. I'll be sure to tell him happy birthday.
I think he's old enough to drink now. I'm just guessing. All right. Speaking of mock drafts, if certain things can happen. Jenna, what position? What are you leaning at if you were to pick for the Buccaneers right now at what, number five?
Well, you know, when it gets a little tricky because there's not. I mean, everybody thinks that Kyler Murray is going to go to the Cardinals, but we don't know with absolute certainty. You even hear, okay, well, what if Arizona tries to trade out of that spot? I mean, there's all these what ifs. And then, of course, the Oakland Raiders, which selected four, they put a bunch of their scouts on a plane and sent them home for the weekend because they feel like they can't trust anybody in the room. So we're hearing all kinds of different things with the Raiders. So I've gone through a few different scenarios. Obviously, it works out in the Bucs' best interest. The more quarterbacks that will go up top, I think, you know, Kyler Murray is the only guy that's really worthy of that top five pick. And so after that, it's a matter of, you know, does a defensive lineman fall into their laps perhaps? Because I have a hard time believing that Quinnen Williams would fall to them at five. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. you know, you've even seen it in recent mock drafts. You know, it's not that far-fetched of an idea for Josh Allen to potentially fall to five. I mean, it could happen. And, you know, then you also, I don't think anybody's really talking much about Ed Oliver. Everybody likes to talk about Devin White. Obviously, everybody knows the Bucks really, really like him. I think even my grandmother knows that the Bucks really, really like him. And she's been out of the loop a little bit recently with some health issues. So, but I really think that, you know, when you look at impact, like I mean, the scenarios that I keep kind of going through, I come out with, you know, if Josh Allen falls to them, you know, if Quinn Williams falls to them, you know, those are two no-brainers. What about Ed Oliver and what about Devin White? Well, like, for instance, one of my radio colleagues on the ESPN affiliate in Tampa, you know, he thinks that they would go with White. And I said, you know what, I'm not so certain because of Gerald McCoy's future. I think they will strongly consider Ed Oliver in that spot. And you look at a potential impact when a guy is playing closer to the ball. I think that that's worth something, and it's not to discredit White because, I mean, he could very well, if they pass on him, it could be one of those situations like how Luke Kuechly was several years ago when they passed on him and they selected Mark Barron. It could come back to haunt them for years, but I just really think with Todd Bowles coming in, they're going to a 3-4. Yep. They need impact. Where can you make the most impact? Well, you can do it up front. So plus, I really like the defensive line prospects in this draft. It's loaded with really good, talented defensive linemen. So, but those are the four guys that I would really be looking at in that number five spot. I also wouldn't rule trading down either because Jason Light, two out of the last 3 years, has traded down in the first round.
Hmm. Well, you mentioned Gerald McCoy. So Jason Light with McCoy, I know he's being hush-hush about it, but he's owed $13 million this year. We all think he's, you know, he's not going to be on the team. But what's the holdup here, and how is this going to affect him on Thursday?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, they obviously, the reason they're holding on to him is because, well, for one, you know, you want to maybe try to get the guy to take a pay cut, and if he's not willing to take a pay cut, and I have no indication to believe that that's happened, and I certainly haven't seen it. But, you know, if he hasn't been there for 3 weeks, you don't want him to get hurt during the Bucs offseason program. That's why Bruce Arians told him not to come, mm-hmm. so that you don't potentially risk injury, so that you can still have trade value. It's going to be really hard to trade him when you have a draft class that is loaded with a lot of young guys that have his kind of potential. Quinnen Williams, Ed Oliver, mm-hmm. those are just guys at the top. I mean, you know, Christian Wilkins, for instance. I mean, you just Dexter Lawrence. You just go down the line. There's a lot of really good potential three technique guys that you can use. And so I don't know what they would be able to get from him, but you know, you don't want to essentially just cut the guy and then get nothing. So if they can get maybe a later round draft pick for him, I think they're hoping that maybe one of these teams that you know, had their eye on one of these defensive tackles. They miss out and they get desperate and then they try to trade for him. But you know what? With him on their current payroll, they only got about $2 million in cap space.
Yikes.
If they owe him $13 million, mm-hmm. they don't even have enough to pay their draft picks. You've got $9 million approximately if their picks stay. If they stay with all their picks right now, they're going to need about $9 million to pay those guys. You know, they're not going to be able to do that. So, but they technically could hold on to him until after the draft. Granted, it wouldn't really benefit them, you know, to not be able to get any draft capital this year, but say maybe they get a pick for next year. That could certainly help them out in that. But they want to be able to get something for him. The problem, though, is that, you know, I talked to teams, several teams at the combine. They were all led to believe that Gerald was going to be returning this season based on conversations they had with the team. And then you have Bruce Arians at owners meeting saying, well, he's not the same player that he was, you know, a few years ago. And then all of a sudden, I think if he had come out at the combine and said that, you could have opened the dialogue for a possible trade. And when the teams, like, say, for the Buffalo Bills, for instance, the Indianapolis Colts, they have all the salary cap room, you know, they could have included McCoy in their plans. Okay, we know we can sign this guy or we could try to trade for him. Now it's like teams don't have a cap. The only way a team can even take on McCoy is if they try to adjust his salary.
Jenna Lane is with us from ESPN, literally in Bristol, getting ready for the draft. We're talking about the Buccaneers, and I know we're talking about the Bucs, but you did say something interesting to me about the Raiders just a moment ago. It's because we spent a lot of real estate on it yesterday. When you heard that there's no longer trust among a scouting staff and they're sent home, what does that mean to you? Does that mean that nobody's on the same page? That one guy says a player's good, another player says a player's bad? Do you think they have other motives because maybe they're leaving for another team? I mean, what does that mean to you when you hear scouts aren't trusted, we're sending them home a week before the draft?
Anytime you have a regime change with any organization, anytime someone is left over from the previous, I think you always are going to have a certain level of distrust or suspicion because you wonder, are these guys loyal to the previous members of the staff? Are they just here, you know, under contract and they're are they really committed? And not just that, but buy-in. And this is an organization that has just done complete overhauls and made some moves that have been a lot of people would deem unfavorable between Khalil Mack. You know, you obviously, you know, get rid of Amari Cooper, just tremendous players. And certainly we can see what they're envisioning by being able to do that and wanting to kind of start over and rebuild. But, you know, between getting a new head coach and getting a new general manager, and you have scouts that have been part of previous regimes, especially this time of year, you know, you got to know that everybody that's in your room, you can't run the risk of having a leak. And so this time of year, too, teams, they clamp down so much on information that, I mean, they don't want anything to get out. So if they feel like they can't trust anybody, yeah, they're going to have to clear the room and they're going to have to, you know, maybe it's just head coach and GM and maybe just a few other staff members, but that's it. I mean, sometimes that's needed. And it's not uncommon for teams either when they get new regimes to come in, you know, new, and it'll happen if it's front office members, scouts and stuff, it'll happen after the draft. They'll go ahead and clean house because they just feel like they have to start over.
No, we were talking about McCoy and the defense, and you know, deep down, I'm not really worried about their defense. To me, this is all about Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, and if they can possibly reach into Jameis Winston's soul and dig out the quarterback that I think he's capable of being, and just to, if he just doesn't fumble or just fumble a third less of the time, maybe the defense will look better. They can put some points on the board, particularly in the end zone. But, man, damn it, he is so frustrating to watch, Jen. And I'm hoping this year that Bruce and Byron can get to this guy and bring out the potential that I think many of us think he has.
And you put it so eloquently, like reaching down into his soul. And because I think we've all seen that potential, you know, I mean, I've spent my whole career in Florida, if you can believe that.
Yep.
I mean, I watched every college snap that he took and you see the winner that he can be and everything. And not just that, but his ability to keep plays alive. I mean, he's a winner. He doesn't always do it pretty. Sometimes it's, oh my God, you know, did he just do that? And then sometimes it's like, oh my God, because, and it's either one way or the other, high risk, high reward. The thing that it could go one of two ways with Arians. It's either going to, I think, It could be a train wreck because you have a coach and a player who both take a lot of risks. I mean, Arians is not afraid to throw the ball deep, 1 yard line, you know, a stretch play when a lot of people would be like, oh my gosh, you know, a long developing play downfield when he's got the potential to be sacked in his own end zone for a safety. A lot of coaches wouldn't call that, but Arians is all no risk it, no biscuit. Or it could have the potential to help Jameis, because one thing is that it's been so ingrained in his mind, don't turn the ball over, don't turn the ball over, don't turn the ball over. Look, in my gymnastics days, when I would tell myself all the time, don't fall off the beam, don't fall off the beam, I usually end up falling off the beam. So, you know, the one thing that really stuck out to me when I talked to Arians when he was first hired is he said, I don't want him looking over his shoulder. I don't want him playing scared. And I think that there's a certain element, that there's a certain amount of importance to that with that position. You don't want to be careless, but at the same time, you don't want to be timid and you don't want to be afraid, because that suddenly starts clouding your mind. But it's going to be really interesting. You mentioned Leftwich. Arians is not going to be calling the plays. You know, that's going to be Leftwich's job. And one thing that I thought that Byron said was really interesting is that he said, because Leftwich is such, when he was a quarterback in the league, he was so scripted and everything was inside the pocket. He said that being Ben Roethlisberger's backup helped him so much to become a coach, and it's going to help him coach Jameis. Because first of all, when the first time he watched Jameis play at Florida State, he said, that's Ben Roethlisberger. And he was up at Pittsburgh at the time, but it was also, he said that working with Ben helped him learn how to be flexible and how to, you know, account for a guy's ability to improvise. And so I'm curious to see how much that time with Ben, and knowing that you've got to give this guy some freedom to keep plays alive, you've got to give him the ability to extend plays. You know, a lot of times what you draw up, you know, he might see it differently. And Jameis, he's very creative with his ability to keep plays alive. So maybe it's not what you've drawn up in your head, but he's able to make it work. And we've seen Jameis do that, you know, a few times, and really just some highlight worthy stuff. We just haven't seen maybe enough of it as we'd like up until this point in his career.
Jenna Lane is with us from ESPN, covers the Bucks with us here on Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Who at the NFL scheduling department doesn't like the Buccaneers? They're going to go 49 days in between home games. There's one 3-game stretch. I think they do like 28,000 miles. That's going to be a rough stretch.
My gosh. I mean, of course, we're talking about story ideas for this year, and I really I wrote in that span, I said, I don't even know if I picked them to win one game in that span, but just to give people an idea of what we're talking about here. And I, you know, I was thinking, all right, maybe I'll do some kind of a story on, you know, 49 straight days away from home and what that's like for them. I don't think people realize how to go from, and just those first 3 games, you know, they go from LA, then they go to New Orleans, and then they go to England, London to play. And that's 30 miles round, or 30,000 miles round trip just in that span alone. And, yeah. And then after the bye week, and thank God they get the bye week, but then it continues. I mean, even little details like, you know, some of these players that are, they live by themselves with their dogs, like try getting a pet sitter for that many weeks in a row. I mean, that's really challenging. And I know the fans are pretty upset about it. The team isn't really coming out and saying anything about it publicly, but I know the folks inside that organization are livid. But the one thing I'd remind folks is that game in London is technically a Bucks home game, yeah. But they had to play it in London if they wanted to be able to get the 2021 Super Bowl. For the Tampa Bay region, it has been a source of major frustration for a while, because they were getting, you know, the NCAA championship game. They were hosting Final Fours. They were, you know, hosting, they were awarded WrestleMania. They were hosting all these big events, but they couldn't get that Super Bowl. And they made all these stadium upgrades over the course of several years now, and they still weren't getting it. And that was one of the things that they had to agree to, is that in a certain span, I believe it was 5 years, they had to agree to play a game overseas in London and have to give up a home game. Mm. So that's what we got there. But at the same time, did it really have to be, on the heels of playing, you know, the Rams and playing the Saints in back-to-back weeks, and then going to London, and the fact that it's a divisional opponent, I mean, all those things. And then even in week 2, this is a brand-new offense, brand-new defense, and they're playing on the road on Thursday Night Football in week 2. I mean, that's really tough.
Yeah.
Well, I hope our friends at Bristol, when you go to London, I'm assuming you're going, right, and that they put you up. I don't know if you've been there before, but if you haven't, make sure they send you to Claridge's and put you up there. I believe Margaret Thatcher still has tea, high tea, every day at 4 o'clock. Wow. It is one of the greatest hotels I've ever been in my life, and you deserve to be there. You deserve the best, because South Florida grad, right? Jim,
yes, I
gymnast
am.
Extraordinaire,
absolutely,
big Bull
yes.
fan. Yep. So
thank you.
Yeah, and you have. But just real quick, with college football and bad, you happy with your program so far at USF? I mean, in the last few years.
You know, it's interesting because, like, when I was a student there, I guess I'm dating myself a little bit, but I was there during the Big East, and so now it's interesting, you know, because of the emergence of the American Athletic Conference and the fact that now, granted, when I was a student at South Florida, I wasn't expecting USF to play for a national title game or anything like that, but. You know, now, I mean, we've seen, and we especially have seen it with Central Florida, it's very frustrating as a fan to watch, to know that, you know, the best they can do is you know, it's still not good enough in the playoff picture's mind and the committee's mind. And I just think that that's frustrating because as a fan, you know, you ultimately go to games because you want to believe in fairness and you believe that, you know, it's a level playing field. You, with the exception of WWE, you know, you go to games because it's not scripted. There's nothing that's rigged about it or anything like that. I think it's frustrating for that fan base and to try to grow that fan base more. Knowing that they don't have that seat at the table anymore. And so I know that the school has fought so hard to try to get that. And the thing is when you have a seat at the table and then that seat's taken away, I think that's why, for instance, you know, Central Florida, they were in Conference USA prior. And so it's not, I think you've seen that fan base continue to grow, whereas where I think South Florida, it's made things a lot more challenging, I think, for that fan base to continue to grow, to try to get those student numbers up. The issue of an on-campus stadium, you know, it used to be when I was there and Jim Levitt was the head coach, you know, there was some appeal to playing in an NFL stadium. It's not really like that anymore. You know, there's a lot of people that prefer college football over NFL, yep. You know, and they're really two different animals and two different styles of play, especially with the spread and really how that's taken over college football. It's just very, very different. And so, you know, I think a lot of those things are working against them, but I really like Mike Kelly and what he has done, you know, taking over that athletic program and everything. I think they're doing some really great things. You know, basketball, I think I never thought I'd say this, but I think the men's basketball program is finally on its way up. The women, Coach Jose Fernandez has been there. I mean, even since I was a student, I was there for their first trip to the NCAA tournament, and he just continues to just develop, you know, really, really great talent. So it's been really great to see the way that the direction that the school is going. But, you know, football tends to rule the roost, and you would like to see, you know, and I think some of this also has to do with consistency. You build a fan base when you have the same coach in place for a long period of time. And, you know, thankfully they're getting that consistency back with Charlie Strong. But it's going to take them a while, I think, to really, you know, get back what they had, you know, back when, you know, they beat West Virginia on Thursday night on national TV, and they beat Kansas at home and things like that. You know, when they upset Louisville twice, they beat Miami, they beat Clemson. It's going to take them, I think, a little while to get that back. And that also has to do with the fact that, scheduling wise, you know, they really, there's even more emphasis on getting those non-conference opponents. They matter so much more.
No doubt. Jenna, enjoy the draft on Thursday night, and we can't thank you enough for coming on today. Appreciate it.
Let's do this again soon, and just grab Fields' hair and just mess it up
before
the show
up.
Tonight.
Oh,
tell him it's from me.
Yes, I can't do that.
He's a friend of the show.
Give him a zonk. Just put your knuckles in and just muss it up. You know, just mess it up a little bit.
I'm going to tell him you said that.
Yes, you can.
I tell him all the time.
All right. And I'll be sure to give him a happy birthday from you as well.
Thank you.
All right, Jenna.
Thanks, Jenna. Thank you very much.
All right. That is Jenna Lane from ESPN covering the Bucks. She's in Bristol getting ready for the mock draft on TV, and Field Yates going to be part of that as well, and she'll be there.
She's a great gymnast at USF, by the way. Very good athlete.
Oh, I liked having her on very much. That was that was very good. All right, coming up, boys and girls, don't forget, time is running out for the Scheman and Shepherd golf outing from 99.3 ESPN. It is presented by Dental Designs, More Than a Smile. You signed yourself up, sign up a team, whatever the case is. One person, four person, twosome at 99.3ESPN.com. Space is limited. It is filling up fast. So you got to sign up now. If you sign up today, you're guaranteed. There are spots available today. So do it. Jump on it. The golf scramble will take place at Veranda's prestigious Whispering Oak Golf Course on May 18th. Shotgun start at 8:30 in the morning. We'll provide lunch, hat, shirt, all that good stuff.
Nice.
$99.30 per entry. And by the way, proceeds benefit De La Salle Academy in Fort Myers. It's a great cause, and It's also brought to you by Lumpy's Golf in Fort Myers. All right, we'll regroup from that. We'll tell you about – oh, we'll get in a little bit of NBA in that Luke Walton may be in a little bit of trouble, like the legal kind. I'll tell you what that's all about. Mm. Something popped up yesterday. Luke. You don't want to miss. And then I've got some Avengers information for you that'll get the two of you all excited. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Moving to the slow grooving tunes of Chris with the ones and twos on the other side of the glass. All right. It's just going to be this all day. Who's this?
Sounds familiar.
I've played it a few times.
I've heard this before now. I still don't know who it is, but I've heard it.
Post Malone.
Post Malone?
Moses?
Related to Moses?
Carl?
Nope. Nope. Fun fact, this is sports related, people.
Uh-oh.
His father, the former concessions manager at Cowboys Stadium. How about that?
How about them Cowboys? That's a stretch.
How about them ice cream sandwiches?
That's a stretch.
Update our poll at 99.3 ESPN Radio. What city is the armpit of sports right now?
Dallas.
Boston.
Never. Detroit, Miami, Cincinnati, or Buffalo? Buffalo with the lead at 34%, almost 200 votes already. Detroit, not too far behind at 25%. They were the odds-on favorite. Cincinnati, 24%. Miami, 17%. We're talking about the last couple years, sports.
No, who currently holds the title of armpit city in sports?
Because it used to be Cleveland, and then
Cleveland has
Golic and Wingo said they've expunged themselves with the LeBron championship, and now Baker Mayfield. Yeah.
Plenty of antiperspirant now. Like they don't stink in every sport anymore. They just stink in basketball.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, armpit or not, the Detroit Tigers are destroying the defending World Series champions on a cold, chilly day.
Told you they would.
Down by the harbor, 6-3 as we go to the bottom
ridiculous.
Of the eighth.
That's ridiculous. That was my lock of the day.
What? Detroit?
Detroit on the money line.
Plus 195? You had to
come
take
on.
It.
Fact. I was taking it at plus 175.
Red Sox are up 2-0. Then they were down 3-2. Then Bogaerts hit a home run to tie it at 3. And now the Tigers just took the lead, as I thought they would. It's like 48 degrees. It looks like it's about 20 degrees.
Looks miserable.
It is, and it'll be worse tonight when they finish it off.
More compliments coming for Chris on the Stony Brook Golf Club text
Bangers.
Line.
I don't know what to tell you guys.
Chris is now the DJ forever, 2-3.
Chris, I've always been the DJ.
Chris plays the music every day.
I just try to appease you guys with my music selection versus today. I don't care what you think.
Yeah, I don't think you try to appease us.
No,
at
I
all.
Do.
Do you?
What are you talking about? Why else would I play Jim Morrison?
When's the last time we heard that?
Yeah, last week.
Because he's a legend, fact.
Last week. Played it last week.
Okay. Thank you. Coming up in about an hour or so, you don't want to miss this. We have a new feature on the show every day at 4:45. It's called Wikipedia, where we try to stump Pete. Mm-hmm. So far, you are 0-1. You were stumped.
I am. Sokovia, yeah. I still had nightmares about it last night.
There are prizes. For example, 18 holes at Eagle Ridge on the line. If you are a golfer, or if you're not, and you want to win free golf. Chris has new sound effects.
We have new gadgets today.
All right, that means correct. That means not correct. And that means you're taking too damn long with your answer with your brain cramp. Move on, please.
Yeah, we're going to do what? 45 seconds for the caller.
We're
going to
do whatever we feel like.
Well, just what it seems appropriate.
There we go.
That's a 10-second countdown for all you counting at home.
Okay.
Chris, the DJ, picked some really good music for this, too, so it sounded great.
Can I pick victory music?
No.
No, I don't want to.
But
ding.
There's a lot of pressure.
Like I'm a bellhop.
There's a lot of pressure on you, like every day.
Yeah, there is a lot of pressure.
I choked
yesterday.
Problem is, I've only got three keys right now. I've got a whole keyboard with sound that I can put in. I need to really update this, where I can basically do a whole show through a keyboard.
Is that technically possible?
That means no.
It's like you have your own instant replay machine over there. No, that's not possible.
You know, he could do the whole show like this. He doesn't have to open his mouth anymore. Just yes or no answers.
I like it. It's good.
Will the Dolphins tank?
Oh, that's great. I love it. All right, in addition to some NBA games that took place last night, congratulations to Milwaukee as they get to the second round for the first time in 18 years. They bounced Detroit.
That's going to be a great series with the Celtics.
They're going to crush the Celtics.
They're not going to crush them.
Because they have a far better player that's better than
that's
any
be
five
a
you can put
great,
on the floor.
That'll be a very good series.
Interesting news for Luke Walton yesterday. A couple of stories involving Luke Walton. First of all, number one, he is being accused by a woman in a lawsuit for sexual assault. Said it was when, if I remember correctly, this was, had he become the coach of the Lakers yet, or was he still the assistant of Golden
State?
They were in Los Angeles, right, for a road game in his hotel.
Right before April 2016, right before he became the Lakers coach, he was named in this.
And I believe it's an NBA writer that's kind of around regularly.
Kelly Tennant, the former host of Spectrum Sportsnet LA, the Lakers regional sports network, received an unwanted physical advance by Walton at a Santa Monica, California hotel.
Did he allegedly ask her up to the room to work on a book or something?
She alleges that Tennant had a working relationship with Walton stemming from his time as a guest analyst on Spectrum, met with him at the Casa del Mar Hotel to drop off a copy of her book, for which he provided the foreword when he was in town on a road trip as an assistant coach with the Warriors. According to the legal documents obtained by ESPN, Walton allegedly invited Tennant to his room so they wouldn't be seen together by any Warrior players. He then allegedly pinned Tennant to the hotel bed and forcibly kissed and groped her. The suit also alleges that in May of 2017, Walton forced an aggressive hug and made a lewd remark about Tennant's outfit at a charity event.
An aggressive hug.
The two attended. Walton's attorney, Mark Berte, called the allegations baseless. The accuser is an opportunist, not a victim, and her claim is not credible. We intend to prove this in the courtroom. The Lakers said they were never told of the allegations when Walton was their coach and had no additional comment because he now works for another team. But the Kings said they were aware of the report and are gathering additional information. No further comment at this time. And you got to wonder, if her allegations...
They have any credibility to
them. Any credibility.
The Kings are going to have a job opening for coach.
Bingo.
Have to.
Play the ding.
Yeah. Ding. There. Thank you. Yep. Thank you, Chris. But the timing does seem a little weird for me. This was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Three years ago?
Yeah.
That's a long time to make an accusation, in my opinion. It's a long time to wait to make an accusation.
They just took a statue down from 80 years ago of Kate Smith. I mean, the statue wasn't up for 80 years. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, it is... I'm just wondering, where are we drawing the line with all of this? You know, they're... Look, this is 3 years, so this is just.
Look, if it happened, it happened. More power to her, and I'll support her
100%. Job. I mean,
I agree. But, I mean, why didn't she come out with it either immediately or a year later? Why 3 years later after he's been in the news? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a small red flag for me. That's all. Of the timeliness of it all.
But if this gets ugly, he's not going to be employed there.
No. All right. And then the other story with Luke Walton. As we know, Magic Johnson was wanting to fire him all along. Then Magic Johnson didn't have the guts to do it. Then Magic Johnson decided to resign and leave the mess behind. Mm-hmm. And apparently, Jeannie Buss, who had always backed Luke Walton, at that point said, Luke, I'm going to offer you the opportunity to keep the job. You had 2 years left on the deal. One was guaranteed. You can remain as the head coach of the Lakers. And then that story came out that they mutually agreed to part ways. Apparently he said, look, Jeannie, that's all fine and good, but it's been admitted that you did give Magic Johnson the power to fire me, and had he stayed, he would have fired me. So why don't I just leave this train wreck right now? We'll go our separate ways. And then he became the coach of the Kings like the next day. Probably had that in his back pocket anyway.
Yeah.
But, two interesting stories with Luke Walton.
Yeah, and there's an interesting, if you want to just hit this real quick here about the NCAA, the couple of football rules committee has approved several rule change proposals. You ready for these? Here we go again. Including some that would strengthen targeting rules and another meant to limit the potential for too many overtimes.
This is for player safety?
Of course it is, allegedly.
For the student athletes?
Yeah, the athletes. Some of the paid athletes. Right. The change to targeting makes it so-called progressive penalty That's the name. So, I mean, meaning that players who commit three targeting fouls in the same season could face a one-game suspension. Under the current rules, players who commit targeting are ejected from the game and are required to miss the first half of the next game if the penalty occurred in the second half. There is no further suspension when the penalty occurs in the first half, which makes no sense, does it?
Do we still have the partial penalties? Where would you're in one game and you finish it out in the next game?
They just said under the current rules, players who commit targeting are ejected from that game and they're required to miss the first half of the next game.
Right.
If the penalty occurred in the second half, there is no further suspension when the penalty occurs in the first half. That doesn't make so.
Well, I agree. I like that. I think it's hokey to miss part. I mean, you either miss the entire next game or you don't miss part of it. I hate that rule.
But you are missing part of it.
But you're committing the foul in a game. Yeah. Why are you serving the penalty for it the next game? So you knock my receiver out.
Right.
Your guy gets to stay in, but the Patriots benefit from it, not the Dolphins?
College.
Okay, so
suspend him now.
So the Gators benefit from it, not Alabama?
Would you get ejected in soccer? Do they make you wait to suspend it the next game?
You don't. You get a red card. You get kicked out of that game with the next one.
If you get ejected in an NBA game, you don't sit out the first half of the next game. You're just out for that game.
No, if you get seven Ts, you get to miss the whole game.
Fine.
Okay, additionally, referees will also be required to review. Again, this is college, not pro. Uh-oh. Additionally, referees will also be required to review replays of all targeting calls to confirm all elements of targeting were present. If the targeting penalty can't be confirmed by video, the call on the field will not stand. So Ray Anderson, the AD at Arizona State, said in a podcast that accompanied the NCAA's news release, said, "We believe the targeting rule has made the game better. It's had a change in behavior, but not enough, and that's what we're continuing to try to push." The committee also approved a change to overtime, deciding that if a game reaches a fifth overtime, teams will no longer trade off starts at the opponent's 25. Instead, teams will run alternating two-point conversions until a winner is determined, and a two-minute rest period will be added after the second and fourth overtime. Does that make any sense?
Two-minute rest period?
Look, I'm thinking after five overtimes, which happens once a year.
Happened last year.
Texas A&M and LSU.
Happens once a year.
Seven.
I think I'm okay with it at that point.
No.
I mean, it's hokey and stupid,
I admit. Very hokey. It's very stupid, and I'm not okay with it.
Not if you bet the over.
Or the under, I'd say.
Well, the under has no shot at that point.
Again, here we go. The four-out-plus game, Anderson said, referring to last November's game between LSU and A&M, which A&M won 74-72. Quote, "The health and safety of players is paramount. So the concern is you are already spent in the normal course of the fourth quarter game."
Health and safety.
Committee also approved changes that would mean the elimination of the two-man wedge blocking formation during kickoff returns and forcible contact on blindside blocks. Blindside block with forcible contact would result in a 15-yard personal foul.
All right. If you want to comment on that, it's 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
I'm fine with that.
For college football.
The blindside block.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm cool with it.
All right.
Yep. Same rule the
player
NFL
safety.
Passed.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. When we come back, I got a little Avengers news for you two. And
don't you ruin it.
Well.
Don't. Craig. Craig.
I am not going to ruin it.
You give me one spoiler, so help me.
Okay. But it is about spoilers. But I will not spoil anything for you. Does that make sense? All right. That's coming up.
Push my viewing time back a day.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Thanks for checking us out on this Tuesday. As Chris continues to spin the stacks of wax on the other side of the glass, the ones and twos. More music I am not familiar with, but that's okay. It's got a nice beat.
It's going to be a theme today for you.
I mean, when you're going current, you're really going current. Like this week.
Yeah. Like right now.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah. Might take me another
out
week.
Of the plate.
That's all right.
Punch him out.
It's all right. We got insurance runs. We're up 7-3 over those loser Red Sox. Runners still on the corners. 7-3 Detroit over the loser Sox. All right. So as you all know, Avengers
World Champion
coming out. That was so last year. I mean, we're trying to be current today, Pete. Chris with his music, me with the standings. Avengers coming out Thursday.
Thursday
in some cinemas. Yep.
Okay. There is
going Friday night.
You are?
I am.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
There was some stuff behind the scenes, my family, but got pushed back a night.
You were going to go Thursday after our draft party.
Yeah, I had to eat the $13, too, so that stinks.
When did that happen?
Yesterday.
No. You came in here. I thought you were still going to go Thursday. Did something happen since we got on the air? Did the wifey call and say, hey?
Oh, no. Well, I still got my ticket for Thursday night. Yeah. I just purchased more tickets for Friday night. Where I would go with somebody.
So next Monday when I come in here and see Avengers did $800 million,
I will be two of them. Oh, I will account for $26
okay.
of that.
All right. As of right now, there are 17 locations around the country that will be open for 24 straight hours. I'm sorry. Four straight days
there
of 24 hours nonstop. 96 straight hours for those of you doing math at home. They're just going to keep the theaters open all around the clock because they're going to be making lots and lots of money. Now, I did tell you I had a story regarding this and spoiler alerts.
Where's that at?
It's a lot of words here. I'm going to have to read.
Well, don't worry about it then. You tell me off air. It's not like anybody else wants to know the answer to
cinema?
That question.
Various areas around North America.
So that.
Well, like I said, I think some cinemas are planning on doing, they're going to run every single Avenger movie. And then lead up.
I watched the first one
7 o'clock
last night.
Gotta catch up. Gotta do homework.
Catching up. Yep.
Got like a review, packet review before big test. So
stop it.
Now, you two probably are familiar with the fact that Mark Ruffalo has, on occasion,
he's messed some things up.
Spilled the beans.
Yeah.
Okay. This time around,
did he do it?
They gave him the wrong script.
On purpose.
You're kidding me.
They added scenes to his
How
script that
awesome
were never
is
shot. So that he wouldn't blow it. It was a dummy script. How about that? This is the guy that plays Hulk, by the way, in case those of you don't know. And I thought that was hilarious.
Although Hulk only emerged in the opening scene in the last movie, but he'll be back, I think, in full force in this one. Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. I actually think that Dr. Hulk, who's the personality, the perfect split between Dr. Bruce Banner and the Hulk, basically a smart Hulk.
Yeah.
I think he comes to fruition in this movie. That's what I'm hoping for, at least.
Now, he's getting it on with...
Excuse me?
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
In the movies.
Yeah, right. I think that's going to calm down a little bit in this
It's got to.
No. It's still up in the throttle. What are you talking about? Why would you say that?
No, Half the world just died. No. You can't have somebody getting busy.
Nope.
They were getting so close last time before everything broke loose.
It was actually two movies ago. Last time it kind of died down. It's going to be interesting to see Hawkeye / Ronan's relationship back with...
He's going to be damaged goods.
He will be.
His whole family was... This is my theory. His whole family lost when Thanos snapped.
I have not seen any spoilers. There's no question. It's going to be some foreshadowing, some back and forth in time.
Oh, there's got
to
be
to the movie. They're going to do some. You know, I don't expect a lot of scenes, but they'll show the snap and show Hawkeye's family disappear. I'm sure that's part of it, and a couple of other things. Mm. But anyway, it's 3 hours and 1 minute, and I cannot wait.
3 hours and 1 minute. That's an NFL game.
How many minutes, Craig?
181.
Good job.
Whoa. I'm shaking. That was so awesome.
Nothing wrong with that.
I didn't think I could do it. I also know we're late. So, coming up, pay attention, people. Right now, top of the hour, Sheeman and Shepherd Cash Grab coming up. There'll be a new word. You know the deal. Download the app, the website, or text it to the number 45911.
Good job.
How about that? Right off the top of my brain. This brain's on fire right now. The neurons are firing. I did the math. I got it all figured out.
Tigers above 500?
Yeah, killing those loser Red Sox. So we got all that, so stay with us. And it's the 4 o'clock hour. That means the next episode of Wikipedia coming up as well. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.